On December the 11th, 2002, at roughly 7:20 p.m, the police received a phone call from a driver on the A3 highway in Burfum in Guildford regarding a serious accident that they had just witnessed. The callers told the police that they had seen a car lose control and swerve off the road with its headlights blazing and crashed in the thick undergrowth off the embankment at the side of the road, just 100 yards or so from the emergency slip road, and so it wasn't long before the police arrived at the scene and immediately started searching for the car or any signs of an accident. But there was no sign whatsoever of a car or an accident. After some more searching, they finally discovered a maroon Vauxhall Astra nose down in the ditch, covered up by undergrowth. But the strange thing was, this vehicle had not crashed in the ditch on this cold December night. It was later revealed that this car had crashed a whole 5 months earlier. The battery was completely dead, and the vines and plants had twisted their way around the vehicle, actually grown around the car. Not far away from the vehicle, the police also discovered a dead body that was so badly decomposed it was basically a skeleton. So the only way to identify the body was through dental records. It turned out the body was identified as 21-year-old Christopher Brian Chandler. He had gone missing on July the 16th of that year and was wanted for robbery and had been on the run from the police ever since July of that year. It would seem that after the crash, the 21-year-old had climbed from the wreck and tried to crawl up the ditch back to the road, but due to his injuries, he couldn't do so and he passed away. So how is it possible that the person who reported the crash had seen the vehicle swerve and fly off the road that cold December night? There was definitely no other cars down in that ditch. Is it possible that this was a phantom vehicle? A replay of a traumatic event that had somehow been recorded and replayed? After all, it's not the first time this theory has been approached. I've heard reports of a ghostly Roman army marching through solid walls or even houses, totally unaware of their surroundings, but seen by living people. Is it possible that certain areas or stones have the ability to record and play back a moment in time, over and over again at random periods? A lot of people think so. I'm going to try and explain this theory the best I can. Think of it like this: you're sat in your living room when all of a sudden a ghost walks into the room, right through the wall. But the ghost is totally unaware that you are in the room, and he seems to be unaware of the actual room itself, of his surroundings, and he's just simply walking through. You look down and you notice that the floor is up to his shins, and that his feet and bottom half of his legs are actually sunken into the ground. And the ghost simply carries on, walks straight across the room and straight through the other side of the wall. He paid no attention to you whatsoever. It was as if you wasn't there. Did you just witness a ghost who just thought it would be amusing to appear sunken into the solid ground? Or is it possible that you were witnessing a recording of time? A moment that happened long ago when the house that you're sitting in right now was simply not there. It didn't exist. And so the ground level would have been lower, in line with the apparition's steps. Is it possible that 200 years ago, when your house didn't exist and there was just a field in its place, this gentleman, this ghost, was just taking a walk across that field? And it just so happened that eventually, this is where your house was built. And now that recording in time keeps replaying over and over every now and again. And every time, this gentleman is walking directly through your house, which wasn't there 200 years ago. Or maybe it works this way. Let's say, for example, I walk into my kitchen one night and I see the ghost of a man wearing clothing from, let's say, 100 years ago, when my house would have still been built. But this time, this ghost sees me and is aware of me, and he looks quite shocked to see me, and then he vanishes. Is it possible that 100 years ago in the past, this man stood in the very same kitchen and witnessed a ghost walk in on him, who looked a lot like me, because it was me, and then I vanished, and we were simply seeing each other through some kind of rift in time? But we both just decided we'd seen a ghost, or we had simply imagined it. But in fact, it was a time slip, something we have talked about before on this podcast. All these theories could explain why someone saw the phantom car fly off the road, or it simply could have been a mistake. But the fact that the police found a car that had been there for 5 months along with a dead body is an incredible coincidence, and I think you will agree with that. The next phantom vehicle I'm going to tell you about is actually an airplane, a Lancaster bomber which flew in World War II. And before I tell you the story, I just want to tell you about a little experience I had with a Lancaster bomber when I was on holiday in Llandudno a couple of years ago. Now, the experience that I had with this plane wasn't mysterious or unexplained in any way. It just took my breath away, and I'd like to tell you the experience I had with it. It was around 10 years ago, and I was on holiday inland, unknown in Wales, playing with my children on the pebble beach, and I noticed a faint noise of an aeroplane approaching from over the sea. And then I looked up, and I was taken aback to see the beautiful Lancaster bomber flying in my direction, quite low in my direction. It then went straight over my head, and then went directly behind the buildings of the resort. The sound that was coming from that plane was immense. It kind of shook your insides, it was that loud, and just seeing the plane approach was simply breathtaking. It held such a presence in the sky, it really did. Now, like I said, the experience I had with that was breathtaking, and I'll never forget it, so I can only imagine how the couple in my next story felt when they saw a Lancaster bomber suddenly just pop into existence and then pop right back out of existence again. A couple named Christine and Robin Gardner apparently saw the Lancaster bomber flying over Derbyshire in August 2020. 74-year-old Christine was parked up with her husband and a friend in a scenic area in Chatsworth in the UK. When they returned back to their car between 2pm and 2:30pm, they decided to sit down and enjoy a picnic. As they sat there enjoying their picnic, all of a sudden they could hear the sound of a plane flying overhead, but it wasn't a gradual noise that was approaching from a distance like I experienced on the beach. It was an instant loud sound of plane engines, like it just popped into existence. It was a Lancaster bomber, and it was flying at treetop level, and it seemed to dip its wings and turn down the valley, when all of a sudden, the Lancaster bomber just simply vanished. It popped back out of existence, and the sound that was coming from the engine also ceased instantly. A little freaked out, Christine and her husband went on to inquire whether there was any Lancaster bombers flying in the area that day. But no one confirmed this to be the case, and even if there was, it still doesn't explain how a plane can simply vanish into thin air. And then they asked around the area they were in, they asked random people, but it seemed that no one had seen this Lancaster flying overhead, something that would have definitely caught your eyes and your ears. To this day, the couple still stand by what they believe they saw that day, even if no one else believes them. After all, the chances of seeing a real Lancaster bomber are quite rare, considering there are only two that are operational and are able to fly. Is it possible that the couple saw another recording of time replay for them to see? And if so, it does not explain why no one else saw the plane. Now, after I read this story, it got me thinking about another story I've heard many years ago about time rifts in the sky, but from the pilot's perspective. I remember reading about one pilot who was flying his plane one day, and he flew over this airbase, and the pilot was really confused by what he was seeing, because this airbase should not have existed. The airbase he was looking at existed maybe, I can't remember exactly, but let's say 40 years ago in the past, and since it had been demolished. And he was totally confused by how he was seeing this, but he just went on with his journey. On the way back, it was as if reality had restored itself, and the airbase was once again gone, like it should be. Is it possible that that pilot somehow travelled back in time up in the sky and then travelled back to his time on the way back? And if that is so, could the couple have witnessed a time slip? Is it possible that they saw a pilot from World War II who had suddenly been transported into 2020 for the briefest of moments before being sent back to his own time? Maybe. Or is it possible that they actually did see a Lancaster bomber? And they were mistaken somehow, maybe the sun was in their eyes, maybe it went behind a cloud. And due to some kind of freakish optical illusion, they were somehow fooled. Whatever conclusion you land on, you've got to admit, it is a strange story. My next story is about a phantom train, which actually makes its way around Stockholm in Sweden. And apparently it's a silvery shining ghost train that haunts the subway system. And this train makes its stops randomly, opening its doors for passengers trying to tempt them to board its eerily sterile interior. And it's known as the Silver Pillen. Sometimes a ghost train has been said to arrive at stations absolutely full of ghostly passengers. And sometimes none at all. Its interior is completely void of character and sterile. If you are unlucky enough to board this train, then it is said you may go missing for weeks, months or even years, until the train simply decides to let you go. Another version says that the train will ride around with its passengers for years until they are more or less a phantom themselves, and when it opens its doors, it unleashes all its cursed passengers out into the city. or if you're really unlucky, it will take you to a real abandoned train station called Kimlingia, but in some kind of alternate dimension which is known as the Station of the Dead, where only the deceased disembark, and there you will stay forever. However, it turns out that there is actually a train that operated called the Silver Pillen, which was actually a test unit that was never fully finished in the 1960s. It wasn't given a lick of paint, which explains the bright silver look of the vehicle, which must have been eye-catching, as it's not something that the public would have been used to. And its interiors were not covered in advertisements or railway line information like other trains normally are. It was simply brought out whenever there was a problem with a service or another train, and it was needed to fill in, resulting in this eerie silver streak racing across the lines at night. Now, many believe that these stories could be down to drunks and homeless people seeing the train in the dead of night and simply making up stories. That being said, this train was retired in 1996, but subway workers still say that in the dead of night when they are working in abandoned tunnels, the train and all its ghostly passengers still make an appearance from time to time. Now, you may remember my episode on the haunting of Flight 401 regarding the plane that crashed in the Florida Everglades, killing passengers and its pilots, and then the parts from the wreck were actually used to maintain other aircrafts, and these parts were said to be haunted by the pilots of Flight 401. But the ghostly pilots were said to have been seen on many occasions either running checks on the planes, or they were witnessed simply sitting in the cabin during the flight, and they were said to be a blessing upon the new aircraft, not a bad omen. Well, now I have a similar story which goes the other way, and this time it wasn't a plane, it was a car. On September the 30th, 1955, the Rebel Without a Cause actor James Dean was involved in a head-on collision in his Porsche Spyder, which he affectionately had named Little Bastard. But the young actor sadly died upon arrival at the hospital. He had suffered a broken neck, multiple fractures to the upper and lower jaw, both right and left arms were broken, and he had internal injuries. Now, apparently after the death of James Dean, it is said that the car went on to have a legacy all of its own, as many claim the vehicle was cursed, including Sir Alec Guinness, the actor who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Star Wars movies. One night, as Sir Alec Guinness was leaving a restaurant after being refused a table due to it being fully booked, he bumped into James Dean, who was driving the Porsche, which had been delivered to him that very day. In Alec Guinness's autobiography, he apparently warned James Dean not to ride in the Porsche by saying the following: "Please never get in it. It is now 10 o'clock, Friday the 23rd of September 1955. If you get in that car, you will be found dead in it by this time next week." The following Friday, his prediction would come true. Apparently the car was a write-off, but it was purchased by George Barris, who was a car customiser, and its parts were reused in other vehicles, and the rest of the wreck was restored and placed on display at various venues. Over the years, there have been stories of mysterious fires starting out whilst the car was stored in a garage, as well as causing many accidents during its travels. Apparently, on one occasion, whilst the car was being unloaded into a shop owned by Barris, it fell and fell onto the mechanic, breaking both his legs. Another time, whilst on display, it fell off a stand and broke a boy's hip. As well as this, it was said that the remains of the Porsche were involved in accidents whilst being transported, apparently falling from the trailer, killing a truck driver. The Porsche's engine was restored and placed inside a Lotus husk and sold to Dr. Troy McHenry, who was killed after racing the car and crashing into a tree. Apparently, Barris also fitted a transaxle salvaged from the Porsche Spyder to another doctor's car, and after a very serious accident in the car, the doctor was sadly left paralysed. And the car was also said to dish out its own punishment to thieves after someone attempted to steal the steering wheel and ended up with a broken arm. Despite all of this, it is said that Barris was a bit of a con man, and the curse was simply fabricated by him to sell more tickets to view the restored Porsche, which, it is rumoured, may have been rebuilt using sheets of aluminium and passed off as actual parts of the actual car, of the actual wreck, made to look damaged with only certain parts of the car being the original. So maybe the car was cursed or maybe it wasn't, but the great Sir Alec Guinness certainly thought it was, and that's good enough for me. Now, I believe I've saved the very best to last, because the next story is about a phantom London bus which apparently appears now and again in London and causes accidents. When I was reading the story, I could picture this London bus being like see-through, slightly green, coming out of the darkness, out of the fog, and it just really made an impact on me. I really, really did enjoy this story, and I don't know whether the Harry Potter movies and the books took inspiration from this urban legend, because there's a scene in the Harry Potter films where Harry Potter is actually riding a London bus, which is not entirely like a normal London bus. It can shift its shape, it can travel really fast, it goes unseen to the general public, or so it seems, and it just seems to have a lot of similarities to this story, and I find it really, really eerie. I really enjoyed this one, I hope you do too. Now, this urban legend begins in 1934 when a motorist was making his way down Cambridge Gardens in West London, and for some strange reason the gentleman lost control of his vehicle and crashed into a wall before bursting into flames, killing the driver. The police had no idea how the accident had happened, and it wasn't until a witness came forward and revealed that he was there on that fateful night walking along the street, when all of a sudden a big red double-decker London bus with the number 7 upon it just seemed to appear out on the road out of thin air, and it was destined for a head-on collision with the car. And there's one more thing. This bus had no passengers or even a driver. It was eerily empty. The car then swerved to miss the bus and hit the wall, bursting into flames as the bus simply faded back out of existence as it disappeared into the night. This was the birth of the number 7 ghost bus that is now said to appear at will down Cambridge Gardens at around 1:15 a.m. And there have been plenty of sightings ever since, causing many accidents. It's always a red double-decker with the number 7 upon it. Sometimes the lights are on, sometimes they're not. And there are absolutely no passengers and no driver. It's as if the bus has a life of its own. And it always appeared at 1:15 a.m. and at the same place, Cambridge Gardens. There is another story of a driver who survived the encounter with the Phantom London bus. He described he was driving along when all of a sudden the bus was just there, heading right for him out of the darkness of night. His headlights were blinding, and apparently both floors were eerily lit, with no passengers on board and no driver. The driver of the car swerved and ran up onto the pavement as the bus sped past him and faded back into the night. And there were hundreds and hundreds of other sightings over the years, some even saying that they'd seen the bus in the depot parked up at night. These sightings went on for quite some time, that is until 1990, when the sightings began to slow down. Many believe that this is because the roads were slightly widened to improve what was already a dangerous route. And ever since, the sightings have been few and far between. But many believe that the ghost bus was real and selected its victims for particular reasons. So what do you think? Do phantom vehicles exist, or can a vehicle be cursed? With the invention of self-driving cars that are now actually on our roads, it's going to be hard to tell them apart. Unless they are, of course, glowing green and see-through. So, as always, I'll let you decide. Oh, one more thing. If you just so happen to be in Cambridge Gardens at 1:15 a.m. and you see an eerie double-decker bus with no passengers or driver, it's probably best that you don't try and board it. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other, and I will see you very soon. Bye-bye.